Well, good evening. How are you? Welcome to the Refuge. Well, the song, The Little Drummer Boy, is of a young poor boy who was summoned by the Magi to a nativity, to the nativity of Jesus Christ, without a gift for Jesus, though. And all he did was play his drum. But there's something, you see, as some of you missed the video, hopefully you didn't, you saw the video, but if you go along with the words of the little drummer boy, and then you realize just the whole story of the shepherds coming and visiting Jesus in the manger, it kind of puts things in perspective. I believe that Jars of Clay, I think, did a wonderful job of showing how it is that, you know, we bring nothing to the Lord, but what we're gifted with by Him. The title of this evening's message is Me and My Drum. You see, we have nothing in and of ourselves significant to gift our Lord with. But we can perform in our lives for an audience of one with the gifts that He's provided to us. And that's what we are supposed to do. Romans 12:1 says, My brethren, I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your lives, who you are, everything to God, which is your spiritual worship, which is your reasonable service. This evening, I want to take you to Luke chapter 2, where we read the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. You see, the Magi were ordered to go in this story of the little drummer boy. They were ordered to go to the nativity. But we know that the shepherds weren't ordered to go anywhere. They were simply told the good news of Jesus Christ being born into this world was just proclaimed to them. And they were drawn to go and see this wonderful thing that had taken place. And yet when they went, they had nothing to offer. They were just shepherds in the field. The Lord knows that we have nothing to offer but ourselves. We try and give Him everything. What can we give Him that He doesn't already have? Nothing, right? Nothing at all. It's just us. It's who we are, our very lives. This evening, we're celebrating the eve of the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the day in which the Father introduced His Son into the world so that through Him, the world might be saved. And I believe today, people still get it wrong as far as when it comes to giving gifts to Jesus Christ. Do you know that you can give gifts to the Lord? But we still get it wrong. We come around this season, we've been so busy, haven't we? And I include myself in it. But last Sunday, we went over a message on how to prepare for Christmas, how to make the best of it, how it is that we prepare our hearts and our minds in order to celebrate this time the way it should be celebrated, right? Jesus tells you to give your life to Him that you may, in reality and eternally speaking, gain it. Paul had it right when he quoted Jesus in saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, the act of giving on Christmas is a shadow of the precious gift God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's not going to be a message to where I put down the giving of gifts. In fact, that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be, as Christians, the most generous people in all the world. Did you know that? Once we realize the gift, then our response will be praise and worship, just as the shepherds will see in the story unto God. With our very lives, we will be generous givers because that's what God is and was through Christ toward us. He was and is an extravagant giver of gifts. So let's start. Let's open up our Bibles, those of you who have Bibles, to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to go through this story of the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Interesting. This first portion of the second chapter of Luke can be read just like any other introduction to a story. Kind of just, you can gloss over it. Great, it's setting the scene, right? Oh, but there's prophecy that's fulfilled in just those seven verses. If you go back 700 years, we know that the prophet Isaiah, he foretold of this very thing. 700 years. Imagine from today, in the year 2711, somebody prophesying today that something would happen specifically at that time, and it would be taking place. Significant. Significant. If Jesus had not been born in Bethlehem, then this prophecy would be null and void. If he wasn't born in the lineage of King David, we wouldn't be here this evening. So very significant. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished, is what Jesus said. So the first thing we need to take a look at here is that God rightly delivers at the right time. God is a God of details. He gives us details. We are to pay attention to those details. And even though sometimes it may seem like things aren't going to work out quite like we thought they were going to work out. Have you ever been there? Maybe this year has been like that. It's like you had New Year's resolutions at the end of 2010. You had all these thoughts of what 2011 was going to bring. And for some reason, it just didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. But let me just tell you this, that God rights the wrong. God is interested in all the little details of your life. And just when things seem to not be going in the right direction, he still reaches out his hand and tells you, come with me, son, come with me, daughter, I will show you the way. And even this year, folks, you can't look back and change the past, but you can look forward with great anticipation to the hope with Jesus Christ. And you can trust in him. You see, he is interested in all the little details of your life. For example, the details here, Jesus' birth. Mary was about to give birth, but the problem is that they were where? Were they in Bethlehem at the time? No, they weren't in Bethlehem at the time. But it was prophesied that she would give birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. So, problem. But the Lord uses, and his resources are just everything and anything, right? So he caused a census to take place. So you have to return to your hometown, okay? Well, Joseph had to return to Bethlehem. And it's for that reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Was it a coincidence? No. Just when things don't seem to be going right in your life, God gives you an opportunity and to make things right and to get things going in the right direction. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Again, because of the census, what seemed to not be going in the right direction, what seemed to, maybe it's not going to take place, took place. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus' lineage, as I had spoken about. Matthew 1:16 says, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ." Go back to verse 6 of that very same chapter. Mentions Jesse, David, and then Solomon, and all the way down. You guys just glossed over that, the genealogy, right? Sometimes we read through Matthew chapter 1 and we're like, "Oh, what are all these names? What do they mean?" Well, they're very important in that it was prophesied that Jesus would be born of the lineage of David. And so he was. In Chronicles 17, the Lord told Nathan the prophet to tell David these things. "When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love from him as I took it from him who was before you, but I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." We can also see this in Psalm 89, 132, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, which I'm very excited about, because tomorrow, that's exactly what I'm unwrapping for you, is Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And so I'm looking forward to that. 700 years before this took place, Isaiah prophesied. What are the chances, right? So if there's nothing that God said that won't come about, then listen to this too. You've heard this before. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." You see, God is interested in you. That's the only reason. We celebrate Christmas. Why? Because we truly celebrate the birth of a Savior. "And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a gift. It's an indescribable gift. An inexpressible gift, as 2 Corinthians 9:15 says. Words cannot describe what God did for us in this Son, Jesus. Remember, Luke was writing this detailed account for Theophilus, a friend of his. Why? So that those things that he was taught, he would be more certain of. You see, Luke knew all the details. He was there. He saw everything that went on. And for us, the Bible, as we read through it, we can't gloss over these kinds of chapters. We can't gloss over any part of the Bible. It is for our faith to be strengthened, for us to be built up, for us to understand who God is and how much he loves us. Just as there is not one detail that God missed in the prophecy of Jesus Christ, there is not one detail in your life that is missed either. Not even you being here this evening. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." All his thoughts are good toward you. He's interested in every little detail. And God is interested in your eternal salvation. And that's why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, here to this earth. True peace, a glorified future, and a secure hope can only be known through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the gift that God rightly delivered at the right time for you and for me. We also see an exuberant response to an extravagant gift by God. Let's continue on. Verse 8 says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." Shepherds? Really? The angel appeared to a bunch of shepherds, the most despised and dirty people of the time. A bunch of shepherds. David, in 1 Samuel, wasn't even considered enough to be brought out before Samuel, as Jesse showed off his sons to Samuel to anoint as the next king. He was a poor shepherd boy. Ruddy, but had beautiful eyes. Was a handsome man, even at that age. But wasn't even considered. These shepherds were despised. They were considered just some of the common folk. No. Listen to this. "People who are content with what they have, although not much, are the richest on earth, regardless of what they possess materially." And the most generous, by the way. "Godliness with contentment is great gain. And Jesus said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.' He also said, 'Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.'" Matthew 5:3-5. Scripture also tells us, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." These humble shepherds were meek and they were fearful when the glory of the Lord surrounded them and the angel appeared. The angel was there to tell these poor shepherds about the good shepherd that had just been born. And so Jesus was proclaimed. We see this in verses 10 through 14. How glorious it would be for this to take place. Think about it. Think about what took place. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Wow. To these shepherds out in the field. How? By an angel of the Lord. A herald sent to give the news of Christ's birth. The news for who? Was it just for them? No. The word says here that it was for all the people. For you, God sent his Son, Jesus the Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. The angel prophesied where and how they would find Jesus. God crowned this news by giving the shepherds a glimpse into the divine. A glimpse into the heavenlies. I mean, can you imagine with the angel, you see heaven's hosts and you see them proclaiming and just glorifying and praising the Lord? I mean, wow, this is some way of telling someone something, right? It would put any Broadway production to shame. Glorious was the introduction of royalty. But the picture I see with the shepherds here is what Jesus explained later in Luke chapter 5, where he says, "After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Tax collectors were despised then, and they're still despised today, right? IRS. Great. You see, God chose a humble woman to give birth to Jesus in a humble place, the manger, stable. There was no room in the inn. Everybody was in town. Jesus was born in a manger, and the humble people he chose to tell about Jesus' birth. Matthew 23:12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. It looks like God was exalting the humble, just like he said he would. So as if the presence of the angel of the Lord, God's glory, the news of the Messiah being born wasn't enough, the shepherds were shown the angels praising God. Overwhelmed? You think they were a little overwhelmed? I know I would be. It's like, I mean, what would you do? Speechless, right? What was theirs? What was their response? Well, they went to see, they saw, they witnessed, and returned. Look at verses 15 through 20, which says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds witnessed all of this. And then saw the angels go back into heaven, not into the heavenlies. It didn't say that they saw them go into like the clouds. They saw the angels go back into heaven. What would that look like? What was their response? That's what matters. They said, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They made haste. I imagine they ran. They were excited. God opening up the heavens, proclaiming the birth of the one who was prophesied about to them. Heaven's host praising God was all seen by them. Guys, let's go and see this thing that has taken place. They wondered. They were in awe. They couldn't wait to tell Joseph and Mary of those things that had been told to them, what they had experienced. They were excited about the birth of Jesus Christ. They were excited to go see what had taken place. And they weren't quiet about it either, because those who overheard what they told Mary and Joseph, the people wondered about. Are you ever quiet about things that you don't want others to overhear? Jesus maybe being one of them. Listen, I just want to tell you about Christ. Can I have a moment of your time? Oh, don't bother them, right? Come on, we're all guilty, right? Now, you don't want others to overhear. But listen, when you come to the point in your faith, when you know what you've been gifted with, who you've been gifted with, what you've been gifted with, eternity, truly, a sincere hope, a certain hope of being with God the Father, then you're going to be like these shepherds. I don't care who hears. I don't care who is around listening to this conversation. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what was shown to me. Let me tell you the change that's been in my life completed divinely by the Lord. So the shepherds went, they saw and they witnessed to everyone what they had heard and seen. And then they returned. They returned? Yeah, they returned. They returned to what? To shepherding. They went back to doing what they were doing when the angel came and told them about Jesus. Well, why didn't they just stay in worship? I mean, they were in the presence of Jesus, right? Why didn't they just stay there? Let me ask you something. When you're called out of darkness and into light, do you not think that you are supposed to return and that's your ministry field? Do you not think that where God called you from, that that's the place where you are supposed to proclaim the good news? Do you not think there are people around you who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? They do. Some people are called into full-time ministry, but many are not. And so your ministry is right where you are. The shepherds returned. They went back to doing what they were doing, but I think that they did it differently. Completely differently. They weren't sitting in a plush palace, surrounded by extravagant possessions. They just had each other. A rod, a staff, a bunch of sheep. But it was in this that they glorified and praised God with. This was their drum that they played for an audience of one. Their lives. That's the whole thing, you know. We started out with a little drummer boy. In our lives are played back to the Lord, the very lives that we've been gifted with, to His glory, to praise Him with. Don't look for something else to do it with, someone else's gift. It's your own drum. Go back to the field and bless Him and praise Him with what He's given you. The shepherds. Did they have anything to bring to Jesus? No, they didn't. Really, neither do we. We just need to come when He calls, see how good He is, believe Him at His word, turn from our old ways of sin into a new life in Jesus Christ, glorifying and praising Him with our lives. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Psalm 34:8. So what about you? I'm going to close with this. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. The other day, by the way, we're going to close with the drummer boy, and they're going to play it for us. They're going to lead us in this song. Read the words. Think about the words. And I pray that it will remind you of the true gift and reason for celebrating Christmas. And walk away as the shepherds did, glorifying and praising God for all that you've heard and seen, for it is true. But let me tell you this story. Isaiah and I, we were driving around Grand Terrace, and we were looking at all the Christmas lights. And but we were going to one specific street because they always set up the yard with just a lot of lights, and it's spectacular, right? And so I thought, let's go and check this out. And I was telling Isaiah, and he already knows about this house. And so he was really looking forward to it. And so we finally get there, and we pull up to the front, and there's not a light on. Not one. And we thought, well, maybe if we sit in front of this home, they'll see that, you know, there's a car there, and maybe they'll turn the lights on for a little bit, you know. I even told Isaiah, roll down your window. They can see a little kid's in the truck, you know. And what he told me was, Dad, all those lights were set up and not one is on. What a shame. He's seven and he's using those words, right? What a shame. Sometimes, listen, in our lives, we set up all these lights. God has gifted us with so much. And these lights, these gifts, are just sitting there. They're not on. They're not bringing God glory. They're not praising Him. And I tell you this evening to think about that as you go with your friends and your family, gathering together to celebrate Christmas. Know that we've been given the greatest gift that could ever be given in Jesus Christ. And now our response back to Him is giving Him not only our lives and surrendering our lives to Him. Why? Because it's necessary. Sin separates us from the Father. And so we need to repent of the sin, confess, agree with God that yes, our sin separates us from You, Lord. And the answer is Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate. And all we have to do, simply, sincerely though, say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask that You receive me unto Yourself. That You save me. And that You write my book in the book of life. I believe that You were born of a virgin. I believe that You walked perfectly on this earth. I believe that You died for my sins. And I believe that after You died on the third day, You were resurrected and now sit at the right hand of the Father. I know you've heard that before. You know, you've heard it, but that's the greatest gift. And that was all initiated 2,000 years ago on this day. Salvation. And once you receive that, the rest of our lives is just a response. So this evening, I would say as we close with this song, think about the words. What is your drum? And if you're not there, as far as having surrendered your life to the Lord, I pray that you do that this evening. Right there, right where you are. If you choose to come forward, and I'm going to be right here in front, and come forward and tell me, you know what, I want to pray to receive the Lord. Or I prayed and received the Lord. And I'll just agree with you. But think about those words. Much more significant than what I initially had thought about. What we give back, He is glorified with. Lord, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for the gift in Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray if anyone here does not know Your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would surrender their lives this evening, Lord, to You. I pray, Father, that You would help us to be givers, to truly celebrate this time, not just opening gifts, Lord, but being content and celebrating the true gift in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank You and we praise You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.